part, and nothing any more precious than knowing your blood. Your sins are under the blood of Christ, and that you're God's dear child. And truly, we need Him every hour. In fact, we need Him every second, every split hair of a second. We need the Lord. And God's able to give us all the grace that we need. And God can give us grace, and yet some certain things in life are still not easy for us. But He will give enough grace that we can overcome. Song of Solomon this morning in chapter number 4. If you would please, Solomon's Song and chapter number 4. Some of the old writers call them the Canticles. And chapter number 4, we're going to read the first three verses this morning and try to bring a thought. This will bless your heart. I've condensed the message. Generally, I've got 3 pages of notes. Today, I've got 2. And that ought to help you out just a little bit in the morning hour. Amen. It's about 3 minutes to 12. And we ought to have you out here by time to eat supper tonight. Amen. And get back after supper and have another good meal. House of God. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks." Now there's the temples and the eyes within the locks. I'm not preaching on within the locks this morning. I'm going to preach from this verse of Scripture. I try to be a blessing to the church. And I'll say a little bit more about that in just a moment. Our Father, Lord, I realize we're in a very tender hour this morning in church. Your people are very tender-hearted. And I don't want to drive them this morning. Like Jacob said, I want to lead them, I pray. And Lord, I ask You to help me to preach the Word of God with real clarity, with love and mercy and compassion, with grace, and yet help me to rightly divide it, Lord, and preach it with great boldness. Help us to see where we are today and where Christ is leading us to. I pray, Father, that You'll save sinners today. For that very reason, You came into the world to redeem the lost. I pray that Thy grace will be manifest, that Calvary will be revealed, that Thy blood will be exposed, and sinners might have great light today and be saved, and Your people, God, might have the needs of their heart met, that You might send a real revival into our midst, a real awakening into our land, an awakening, Lord, that would draw sinners to the house of God and help us to be salt in this earth, that we may draw them to this place. And we'll thank You. I pray, the Lord, that You'd give me some liberty and help, for I need the anointing grace of God. I pray that You'll move this morning in an unusual way in our hearts to seal Thy love within us and help us to lift up our voice and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. In verse number 3 is where we'll draw our thought from this morning. And Brother Solomon there says, writing about his bride, and he says so under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, "Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks." Now, I want to try to preach this morning for a little while around the thought when the pomegranate opens up. When the pomegranate opens up, you'll notice he said that your temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. If you read that very hurriedly, you'll think that he says your temples are like pomegranates. But not like a pomegranate, but like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. And I'll be honest, I was amazed when I began to study out for the message around the thought of the temples. And really, what the temples, what the Word of God, or what the Lord has to say about the temples of men. I want to preach, Lord willing, next Sunday, if God will help me, a little more in detail on the temple itself. But this morning, I want to look at that temple within the locks, and it being as a piece of pomegranate. Our Lord is here in these words in chapter 4, using His fourth word to describe His church. Of course, as I've said, that word is temple. And because I'm so amazed is really the root meaning of the word temple. The root meaning there means to fall. Because the temples are found in the fall of the head. And I wondered how, on heaven's name, could our Lord describe His bride as being fallen. And I realize that that is where Christ first found you and I. He found us in a fallen estate. He found us without hope and without God in this world. And to magnify that, we are Gentiles in the flesh. And because we are Gentiles, we are without the promises of God. We were without hope in this world. But Paul said, by the blood of Christ, that we have been brought near. Now I want to say to you, sinner man, sinner woman, there's where you're living today, in a fallen state, in a fallen nature. You are living in rebellion towards Almighty God. You have missed the mark, and you've transgressed the law of God, and you've overstepped your boundaries, and you are not, or you have not, lived up to the expectation that God intended for you to live up to. You are living in a fallen estate. Now, the Strong's Concordance says that the word temple means bad. It means evil. It means to be in misery. It means to be in wretchedness. I say on the authority of the Word of God, that is where lost people are. They're living a life of misery and absolute wretchedness. Now, friend, I look back at my life, and you can look back at yours, where you were before God found you. And if you're genuinely saved by the grace of God, you will have to admit that living back then, you lived, your life was a life of misery. My God, how miserable a man can get when he is depraved and living in his own sin. While they'll swallow and drink their own puke. I've known men that have drank aftershave lotion to try to get on a high. They'll sell their bodies to buy a little more dope to get on another high. I've known men that'll do everything under the sun to get a little bit of dope. I've even known of them, my friend, to get prescription drugs, that they might get high on that. Somebody said, why, Brother Hall? I'm going to tell you why. It's because they have a fallen nature, and they are miserable in the life that they're living. But all thanks be unto God that God broke us one day, and He said, now that your temples are not evil, they're not bad, they're not in misery, but your fallen estate that you used to live in is now like a pomegranate that is within your life. I'm glad, thanks be unto God, there was a day in my life when the great God of glory in the person of the Holy Ghost
came to where I was and broke my rebellious, stubborn will by the grace of God, helped me to call upon the name of the Son of God, brought me out of misery, distress, woe, and grief, birthed me into the family of God, filled my heart full of joy, cleansed my soul, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and made me a child of Almighty God. Hallelujah. That's right. That word means to be bad and evil, miserable and wretched. And some would say, how can these temples possibly represent the church? But like I've said, please notice now that the Scripture says that the temples are like a piece of a pomegranate that are within thy locks. And my friend, for the temples to be like a piece of a pomegranate, that pomegranate must first be broken. It must first open up. I'm glad, thank God, that we are like a pomegranate that God has opened up. Can you see yourself as a pomegranate that God took, broke, burst, opened it up, took a piece out of it, amen to God, and said that you were like a lovely piece of a pomegranate, amen to God, within your own locks? Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, my friend, that God first of all has to break an old sinner. And I'm saying this, that I see here that pomegranate within thy locks first represents the brokenness of the church. God help us. God help us to be a broken people before God. I'm talking about broken to such a degree that we can once again let the tears roll from our eyes. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. I've never seen such a hard-heartedder, indifferent, colder grace or generation of mankind as what we've got upon the face of God's earth today. Now, I'm going to tell you, my friend, what the church needs is the same thing Mary did with an alabaster box. Bless your heart, we need to be broken that the fragrance of Christ may flow out to a lost and a dying world around us. Now, I want to say to you, we'll never be worth a flip until we are broken. All the Lord has to do is set on us one time. That'll break us. Somebody say, what about all these folks that professed Christ and went out of the church and continued to sow their wild oats? I'm going to tell you what the problem is with them, neighbor. They've never been to Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They've never been saved by the grace of God. When our Lord told His disciples before He made His ascent into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, He said, you go find a colt and the fold of a fold of an ass that never a man rode on, and bring him to me. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord crawled on His back, He never bucked, bit, flinched, nickered. He never done a thing, son, but sat under the Lord Jesus and done exactly what God ordered Him to. That was to carry Him down into the city of Jerusalem. I tell you, a sinner that's ever broken, my friend, whose will is ever broken, I tell you, when Christ sits on your back, you will not butt kick, go back to sin, run around in your ungodliness, shame and disgrace, and disgrace the house of God. You will walk a straight line in obedience to the Word of God. Yes, you will. Bless your heart, and you will learn to obey the Bible. I know that's right. The brokenness. He said, your temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. He said that pomegranate had to be opened up, and a nice, juicy piece had to come out of it. And that's what I'm likening to you. That's what your temple, that's what your rebellious nature is like. I wrote this Scripture down. The Lord said in Luke chapter 20, verses 17 and 18. He said, "The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to pieces." Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, if you fall upon the rock that's been hewed out of the mountain, you mark her down, He will break you. Yes, sir. He'll break your stubborn and rebellious will and bring you into obedience to the Word of God. And there will be a longing and a struggling and a striving in your heart, even to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. God help our minds today are like cesspool. It ain't no wonder, my friend, professing Christian, go out and commit adultery and home of. Amen to God. Toss, drink, shoot, dope. I'm going to tell you their problem. They've never been saved. By the grace of God, they have nobody at home to gird up the loins of their mind and bring their thoughts into the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, what's some things, Brother Hall, we ought to be broken over? I'm glad you asked me. I think we ought to be broken over sin. You know, we've got to the problem anymore, friend, that the world, that folks can just about do whatever they want to do. And it doesn't bother us. And it doesn't bother them. You know, I was reading this morning about a man by the name of David. And David committed a grievous sin against God and against his own men and against a woman by the name of Bathsheba. And by the way, the sin that David committed there was usurping authority over God. Man, you get a hold of that? That woman had been betrothed to Uriah. In the eyes of God Almighty, they were one. But David usurped authority over God and took that woman, committed adultery with her, amen, and sent her husband out into the battle to take his life to try to cover up his stinking sin. Are you listening to me? But I read in verse in the Psalm 51, brother, where God Almighty sent a preacher to visit David. And once that preacher put his finger in David's face and said, "David, thou art the man." Son, I'll tell you, there was something got a hold of his heart. And buddy, it ripped his heart out. I mean, God stuck that big omnipotent hand from glory into his spiritual bosom and ripped his heart out of his side and broke his heart over his sin. David realized and recognized that he was in sin. And immediately in Psalm 51, he cried out, "Have mercy upon me, O God! Have mercy upon me!" I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's about time the people of God got broken over their sin. Oh, I could preach on down through that. David said, "I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me." He said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness." I'm here to tell you, it ain't no wonder, my friend, that there's no joy and no gladness when our sin is ever before us. And we cannot, and by the way, it does not have to be a vulgar sin like adultery, my friend, that breaks our heart. We ought to break our heart over the lack of faith and the lack of joy that we have our hearts. Or somebody said, "Preacher, that's not sin." I beg to differ with you. The Bible said, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, my friend." That's right. God help, there's a lot of sins, friend. I'm going to tell you something. Old Benny laid the corn, shelled the corn, and laid it out on the feeding board this morning. Talking about thou shalt not kill. And how that we kill with our minds and kill with our hands. What was the other one? Huh? And the tongue. We become a murderer and kill. Oh, and how many of us have lived right there? I mean, we've just let an evil thought run through our mind towards a brother in Christ. And become a murderer. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. And think nothing about it. It can be preached at. It can be exposed by the Holy Ghost. And friend, it still doesn't register home. I'm simply saying it's time that we need to be broken about the sin that's in the house of God. Old David goes on to say there, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Sonny, it ain't no wonder there's no joy in the house of God. Hey, it's the little foxes that's spoiling the vine. It's those little sins of omission and commission that is spoiling the vine and robbing us of our joy and depriving us of the blessed goodness of God in the house of God in the land of the living.
Amen. Now I'm going to tell you what David said when he got down to verse number 17. He said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise.
Amen.
Now I'm going to say something to you this morning. It's been a long time since I've been in a memorial service where I saw the tears and where I saw the brokenness that I seen in this place on yesterday afternoon. Now I'm going to tell you something, church, that's good. I told my wife a couple of weeks ago, I said, I think God's doing something in our church. God's beginning to work in our church. Well, I come in, all the grass was cut, and my grass was cut, and we'd eat it, and the building was cleaned last week ago Sunday, and the building back there decorated, and a surprise birthday fellowship for my wife. And I thought, my, I don't know who put all this together, who brought it to pass, who done the work, who helped. But I said, buddy, God is a putting something together at Island Ford Baptist. I'm here to tell you, God's have been working under the scenes, my friend. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Everybody stand up, sit up and listen to me now. I'm going to tell you why. We are reaping, my friend, the results of some meetings that we've had and some sin that's been confessed and got right before God. Oh, somebody said, preacher, that ought to took place a long time ago. Though God pays off in God's time frame when it'll bring the blessing to us and the glory to God. And I believe that God has chosen now, right before our jubilee, to put His divine hand of mercy into this church and melt and mold a church family together, my friend, and bind our hearts together in Christian love. That'll bring glory and honor to Almighty God. I believe we're going to have a meeting, my friend, out of this world when it comes October time. Are you listening to me? A broken heart and a contrite spirit, God will not despise. No, sir, I've been to some funerals and folks' faces hard as steel. And I'm going to tell you why the tears. I understand theirs. My Bible tells me that a church, that we ought to weep when they weep, laugh when they laugh, rejoice when they rejoice, mourn when they mourn. And I'm going to tell you what I saw. My friend is a group of people that love some people. Are you listening to, oh yes, sir? And we've done gotten our hearts right with God. Oh yes, and our hearts have been broken over our sin. Now God can break in and break our hearts for His honor and glory and fill them full of love. Oh, hey! And let the fragrance of Christ flow out within the house of God. Yes, sir, that we might enjoy Jesus in here in the weeks to come. And that old sinner's on the outside, my friend, might say, hey, get word of it and get born again by the grace of God. My friend, have you ever stopped to consider that Philadelphia was a church of brotherly love? Somebody said, oh, we do love each other. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Charity envieth not, Benny, like he was talking in Sunday school, is not puffed up, is not unkind, esteemeth its brother more highly than himself. Oh, I'm going to tell you, friend, oh, we're climbing, but we got a long way to get there, to get on top of the ladder on this thing called love. And I'm telling you, that's where I'm aiming at. I'm telling you, like setting my sights on a 12-point buck, son, I've set my sights on the top rung on the ladder that's called L-O-V-E, love, one little old word. Amen to God, where we ought to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, mind, body, and soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, my friend. Somebody said, who is our neighbor? That's that one that's fell into trouble. Your neighbor is that one, my friend, that's in trial. Your neighbor is that one that's in hard time. Your neighbor is that one that's sitting on the pew right beside of you this morning.
the house of God. God help us. God help us. I want to say, secondly, we ought to be broken over the souls of men. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate, a broken pomegranate with a piece within thy locks. Amen. I'm not talking about super duper soul winning. I'm talking about being broken over the souls of men. I tell you what our Lord did in Luke 13:24, when men rejected His wonderful love and grace, and He looked out over the city of Jerusalem and saw the souls of men bound in sin, their hearts bound up in wickedness and ungodliness. Their hearts were only to do evil continually. Their heart was deceitful and desperately wicked. They were filled up with envy and malice and jealousy, all kinds of wickedness. And to them the prophets had been sent, and to them the preachers had been sent, and to them the very Son of God had been sent. And I'm going to tell you what they said. They said, "Come, He's the heir. Let us kill Him and seize the vineyard for ourselves." Are you listening to what I'm saying, my friend? And the Lord looked out over that city and knew the naughtiness of their heart, knew the depravity of their soul, knew the sins of their mind and their heart, and yet He could cry, "Oh, Jerusalem! Oh, Jerusalem! Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather brood, and you would not," He said. But I'm telling you, my friend, that did not hinder Him from loving the souls of men. And as He hanged on the cross, tears down His face, heart broken because of their rejection of the only hope that they ever had of escaping the damnation of hell, He could still look yonder in the face of God and cry, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I'm telling you, it's about time, my friend, that we got broken over the souls of men that are dying and going to hell without God. I looked at Doug's picture again this morning, Jerry. And at first I said, "Lord, wherever he's at, save me." And I said, "No, they said he's in Florida." And I said, "Lord, there ain't no problem for you. You're just as close to Florida as you are Kentucky. He's just as close to the moon as he is to the earth. He is just, God is just as close to the moon as he is from the moon to the sun. I mean, there's no distance with God. For in us He lives and moves and has His being. There's no distance with God." And I said, "God, if you would just reach down," I said, "bring him under such conviction that he can't even close his eyes in sleep. Deprive his peace from him. Rob him of his peace." Oh, I'm telling you, I'm going to do everything I can. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe God is going to use the death of little Hannah to do a good work to help tenderize our hearts, Brother Ricky. And get us to a place where we can get some of our loved ones on our heart. I'm not talking about on our mind and coming in here and running our mouth and saying, "Save old so-and-so," and us never utter a prayer, never put any legs on a prayer, never go visit them, tell them about God. I'm not talking about a bunch of superficial bull baloney that's about all we ever see in church. I'm talking about a broken heart, my friend, where we can get on our knees and see their face in the image of our eye and cry to God to have mercy on them, because they're separated from God and they're going to hell without any hope at all. And may God break the pomegranate this morning and break our hearts for the souls of men that are going to hell. I want to say, thirdly, brokenness of the church, broken over sin and broken over souls, but we ought to be broken over the Savior's love. Now, I'm telling you, when was the last time that you wept over the love He's got for you? "Oh, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in Him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. Oh, no, 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 no one else could ever take this sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. For me? Jesus loves even me? In all my sin, Jesus loves even me? Oh, yes. And I'm telling you, friend, every time I think about love, I can't help but to think of that little whore that God saved in that Luke chapter 7. Just that old rip, just that old prostitute, just that old whore in the city. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus said about her. He said, "Behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner." Done no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And notice, said was a sinner. Was a sinner. Not is a sinner, was a sinner. Was a sinner, thanks be unto God. I said was a sinner. Miss Hall and I was going to Louisville on Monday. We stopped at Litchfield to the little old gas station there, Taco Bell in it. Went in, got us a little taco. Wasn't a little taco. It was about that big around and slimy as a greased pig and had grease running all out of it. But anyway, there's a little old girl standing back there, a young woman, and I'm not talking about her. She just didn't look like she had all that she needed. You know what I'm saying? And we made her order, and she took her order, and she said, "Sir, how are you today?" I said, "Ma'am, I've never been better." I said, "It is a wonderful, wonderful day." And she said, "My," and now this is her word, she said, "You talk like a saint." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am a saint." And she said, "Well, I'm glad to meet you." She said, "I have never met a saint before." I said, "You mean tell me you've never laid your eyes on a person been saved by the good grace of God?" She said, "Oh, yes, I have." I said, "Ma'am, all saved people are saints." Amen. Old Brother Paul wrote to amen to God, to those churches, and he said to the saints in Christ Jesus. Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I was a sinner. That woman was a sinner. But I'm going to tell you, when she met the Master, she was supernaturally, my friend, transformed from a sinner to a saint. Her sins were washed away. Her old lips that were vile were now made sweet and wonderful. Oh, hallelujah to God. And the tears of her eyes proved to me that her pomegranate had already been broken. For the tears was on her face, on the feet, and she wiped them with the hairs of her head. And Jesus said, "She'll love me much." I'm going to tell you something, friend. You ever get a hold of what He's done for you, you'll love Him. Now, y'all better shout now, because it ain't going to last. I'm going to say that. Are you listening? Broken over sin, broken over souls, broken over the Savior. He said, when she knew that Jesus said it, meeting the Pharisee's house, "Don't let a Pharisee keep you from God. Don't let some religious idiot keep you from getting to God. Somebody ain't got nothing. Get to God. Whatever it takes, get to God." Said she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at His feet behind Him, weeping, and began to wash His feet with the tears that did wipe. She did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed His feet and anointed them with the ointment. I'm telling you, my friend, she is broken over the Savior's love. I want to say the fourth thing we're to be broken over is ourself. God, help us to get broken over where we are with God. Brother Paul said in Hebrews 5:12, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers of the Word, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, it's high time that some of us in here grew up. I mean, praise God, let's grow up in God and get a little maturity about it. I mean, let's not walk around with a chip on our shoulder. Amen to God, looking for somebody to knock it off. I mean, let's not walk around with a pooge mouth all the time. Amen, mad at somebody over this. Oh, yes, full of jealousy. Well, the preacher didn't recognize me. Said something about everybody else, but he didn't say something about me. Has it ever occurred to you? Maybe the preacher just overlooked it for once. There'll be some folks that'll certainly recall everything that you've done wrong that don't agree with them. Amen. Are you listening to me? Don't miss nobody. That's why I don't like to call names. That's why I don't like to congratulate nobody individually by name. If you do, somebody's going to get madder than a wet hornet over it. Amen. Are you listening to me? Somebody get madder than a bull. Somebody get upset, irritated. God help us to get over that.
Amen.
Brother Nolan walked by here yesterday. I was standing down here, and I'm flesh like you are. And he walked by Robert and Sue, and I think he shook their hand, and Kelly and Ricky shook their hand. He walked over to Miss Kelly's mom and daddy and shook their hand and turned around and walked off. And when he walked by, he didn't even turn around and look at me. And when we got out of church, I told Miss Hall, I said, "Do you reckon I spit on the pastor this morning while I was preaching?" I said, he didn't speak to me on the way out. And I said, "Well, I hope I didn't say so. I didn't mean to offend him." I said, "If I did, I'm sorry. But I have to admit down in my heart, that little slight irritated me just a tad bit. I began to wonder what I'd done wrong to deserve being slighted." Are you listening to me? Amen. Telephone rang last night. Brother Nolan said, "Hello, Dr. Hall. Said, just wanted to call and tell you you done a marvelous job preaching that thing yesterday." He said, "By the way," he said, "I forgot to shake your hand going out." I said, "I apologize. Said, I just wanted her to get through the lines. I didn't mean a thing by, boy, you talking about pressure going off and relief coming. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Amen. Friend, we're flesh. We're flesh, and things can upset us, my friend. But God, help us to grow out of that. Realize we don't have to be recognized and noticed about everything. That if the great God of heaven, if the great God of heaven will just recognize me for who I am. Oh, yes, I don't have, man does not have one reward in his hand. I'm going to tell you, he's got the reward. When he comes, he'll have his reward in his hand. One for you, and one for you, one for you, and one for you. Are you listening? I'm talking about being broken. I want to say, secondly, not only do I see the brokenness of the church, but I see the blossoming of the church. And nobody leave me right here. I said the blossoming, when the church blossoms and blooms. Y'all remember a few years ago when I preached on the fullness of the Holy Spirit? And I preached about that old crabapple tree in Greenville, South Carolina, how it was full of blossoms and blooms, and how pretty it was. And I preached that, give that as an illustration to God's people, how when we're full of the Holy Ghost, the graces of God bloom out on us in like manner. And I use that. Well, listen to me just carefully. A pomegranate will always hang on the tree for a long time after it is fully ripe. Doesn't fall off. You know, apples will fall on the ground. Peaches will fall on the ground. Plums will fall on the ground. Cherries will fall on the ground. Pomegranates don't fall on the ground. They will hang on the vine or on the tree until they're overly ripe, and then they'll just burst open. And unless they're gathered, they'll hang there on that tree. Somebody said, "What are you saying?" But Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you are the branches." God help us to hang on the vine, Brother Doug.
Amen.
Woo! Can you get a hold of that? Son, we ought to hang on the vine until we're full of sap out of the vine. I'm talking about so full of sap, bless the Lord, that our pomegranate will bust on the vine, bless your heart. Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying we need to hang on the vine. Some of you ain't going to like this until we're full of the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all need to get filled up with God. Come here, Josh. I want you to go back there and fill that glass. Plumb to the top. Don't spill it. Just fill it. Hurry now. I'm in a hurry. Some of y'all need to get filled up with God.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to show you something now. Just hang right with me. That old pomegranate gets full of the juices that the tree is pumping into it. How many times, Brother Steve, you ever went out in a garden and saw one of your tomatoes cracked open? Have you got any of them watermelons that's laid out there and just kind of burst? They keep taking on all that water, and when they're full of that water and the sun shines on them in the right way, they just, you know. You ever seen one of them watermelons so full? You can lay them on the table outside on a picnic table and take a knife and just touch them, and they just, whop, they just fall. I'm going to tell you what the thing of it is. I'm going to tell you what it is, friend. They full See that glass? That glass is right full, is it not? It's full of water. That's what God wants you to be. God wants you to be full of the Holy Ghost like that glass is full of water. Now come on now. Come on now. Here comes a little trial in your way. You ain't full of God. If a little trial shakes you a little bit, just like the water come out of the glass, the trial ought to shake the Holy Ghost out of you. Somebody crosses your path and somebody neglects you and it shakes you a little. The Holy Ghost ought to come out of you. Something don't happen exactly in life. God ain't treating you like you think God's treating you, and God shakes your little vessel.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost. And if you're full of the Holy Ghost,
amen,
it'll come out of you. Now, Barrett, stay right with me. You know what the problem is? That glass. Son, God have to turn some of you upside down to get Jesus out of you. You're so running so low on oil, bless your heart. Sorry about that, eh? God have to turn you upside down to get 1 ounce of God out of you. More water, son. Are you wet, eh? Don't want my hankies? I meant to hold the thing up and turn it upside down. My Parkinson's kicked in and I lost it. Maybe the Holy Ghost shook my vessel a little bit. Full of the Spirit of God. Now, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves in this chapter. But in verse number 12 of this chapter, Solomon said about his spouse, he said, "You're a garden enclosed, is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up and a fountain sealed."
Amen.
That's where we are, buddy. We're sealed.
Amen.
But in verse number 16, that little bride says, "Awake, O north wind, come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out."
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you what we need, son, is God.
Amen.
To blow on His garden of love in our soul. And be full enough, let your heart, that the spices can flow out.
Amen.
Of you and I. I want to say, secondly, we ought not to be full of the Spirit, we ought to be full of work, full of faith.
Amen.
You know what the Bible said in Acts chapter number 6 about a man by the name of Stephen? They said, the disciples said, "Pick you out 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Set them over these affairs." The first one they chose was Stephen, a man full of faith.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something, son. I'm a praying. I want you to help Brother Hall pray that we'll make it to January without a radio marathon, win, lose, straw, bust a gut, or whatever we have to do. By the good grace of God, I'm telling you, old George Mueller prayed in millions of dollars to take care of a children's home, bless your heart. And glory to God, never had one radio marathon, not a share-a-thon, didn't go outside the confines of his prayer closet, but a Holy God from heaven heard, and by faith, old George Mueller prayed her down and got the victory.
Amen.
I want to get to this one. I like this one. I think we'll be full of good works.
Amen.
Are you sold? Okay, glad. Are you, honey? So, well, good. Yep. I don't want you to go away here dry. I want to say we ought to be full of good works. You know, in Acts chapter number 9, there was a lady there in that chapter by the name of Tabitha. And she was, by interpretation, Dorcas, which means a gazelle. And the Bible said that she died, and all the widows of the city. Peter got down there, and all the widows was crying.
men ain't wearing them. Let me have your jacket, Brother Doug. Can I borrow Luke's or Rick's? Sharon, I know you're cold, but can I borrow your sweater? And all the widows were gathered around her little old body laying there on the bed dead. Peter, so many words, said, "What are you weeping about?" One of them said, "There's a little coat Dorcas made for me while she was yet with us." Another one said, "And look, Brother Peter, look what she made for me. Look what she made for me. Isn't it lovely, Brother Peter, what she done for me?" And another one said, "Oh, and I don't mean to boast above the rest, but said, look at mine. She made that." Said, "Isn't it wonderful? It's hand-stitched, crocheted, double-knitted, and all that good stuff. Got all the fine colors of thread that we can have available to it. Isn't it beautiful?" And the garments Dorcas made while she was with them. Do you know what the Bible said about Dorcas? Listen now. Don't leave me. I meant to write this down and forgot it. "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, with by interpretation called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works." My God, full of good works. And the only thing it says about those works was that she made some coats for some of the widow women. Are you listening to me? What about the little nursing home deal, wrapping up the little lap robes? Now, I'm not singling out nobody. If somebody gets mad over this, you just have to get glad over it, because what I just preached a minute ago, you can't stay wrong. If you do, you're wicked as the devil.
Amen.
But I saw a little old flyer thing sitting over at the funeral home on Friday night. And I come in here and it was sitting in here on one of those things. I told Miss Hall, I said, "Isn't that pretty?" I said, "I can't imagine who in the world would buy that or why the flower shop would send that over here." And Miss Hall said, "The flower shop didn't send that. It said Sharon made that." I'm going to tell you something, folks. Sometimes just a little thing made, just a little good work, just a little card on the front table, just a little basket of flowers, just a little expression of your love. Miss Hall said, here's why I'm... Some of you just cut the grass at my house and weed-aided, whichever one it is, like Miss Hall said. "Come in here, you ladies, and clean," and a little old surprise party. And I thought, my goodness, I believe God might be doing. Cleaned our house, and ladies went and cleaned our home for us. I said, "Man, isn't God? God is must be doing something. Good works." I'm going to tell you, you can't be full of good works without being full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Right.
I'm going to tell you, those good works must be led and prompted by the Spirit of God that lives in us. And if we're ever broken like a piece of a pomegranate, the good works will come out. Now, I say the third thing, and you're spared, because I'll hit you lightly on this. I see the brokenness of the church and the blossoming of the church, but I also see the blushing of the church. Now, don't nobody leave me. When a pomegranate is broken, the juice in this hall like this is a reddish and a purple color comes out. Have you ever seen a woman? You ever seen somebody do something wrong and embarrasses the living daylights out of them, and their face goes? Do you know anybody that when they get embarrassed, that their face gets kind of red and blotchy white color. Did you know that down in here is also considered the temple? What he's saying is that juice, when that pomegranate is, your temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within your locks. He said your face will kind of get a, that pomegranate is broken, will kind of get a purple, reddish color, blotchy color. He said that's because you blush. Now I'm going to tell you something, friend. There ain't much blushing going on in the house of God. People are not embarrassed, nor do they blush, nor do they have any shame.
Amen.
Over nothing. They can just about dress. I've seen people, and not just here or Friday night, but I've seen people come in nursing funeral homes with shorts on. Women in shorts, men in shorts. Splits up the. I'm telling you, there's a funeral going on over next to them, to Brother Ricky and him, to Hannah's on Friday night. And we're sitting there on the front row, and there's a lady here. No, she wasn't late. She's a woman come out of one of them rooms. She had on a big, long, black dress plumb to the floor. And when she took a step, son, the whole thigh fell. I said, my God. And what bothers me is that most of you. And I'm going to tell you something else. The lady that was wearing it didn't have any shame about it at all. She could high-step right on in and show off them thighs in front of all this. No shame and embarrassment about nothing, how people dress anymore, buddy. Men and women can look alike. Bless God, I've seen them walking down the street here lately, and you can't tell which is which. The women's hair,
amen.
I'm just saying this now, and I'm on the air, but I won't put it the way I started to. But I told my wife sitting over on Friday night, I said, look at our ladies. Look at our ladies. I said, they don't look like a lot of ladies in a lot of churches where we've been, do they? Some of them got them zipped up hairdos, buddy, that look just like a man. I'm telling you, you can't tell. You know, they walking away. You can't. I am not joking you. When we was headed over there on Friday night, Miss Hall, Brother Brown and I stopped at Cracker Barrel and ate. And I am not joking you, buddy. There's a woman got out of an automobile and come walking up across on that sidewalk. Her hair was as short as Brother George's or Benny's, either one. I'm not exaggerating. Had on a pair of blue jeans pulled down to some shit. I said, look at that. I said, a man will just walk up to her and just beat the living death. Just say, bless God, you want to act like a man? Put him up. I'll just bust you upside your God. Give my balls. Bless your heart.
Amen.
If they want to act like a man, they ought to be like a man.
Amen.
I'm not in favor of drafting women, but bless God, sign her up. Put her in a mortar platoon. She'd make a good one. Listen to what Brother Paul said. In like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. You know what that word shamefacedness means? If Miss Hall hadn't taught you women that, but now shame on her. It means downcast eyes. You ever seen these women, bless God, they just pucker up them big rosy red lips, that big black makeup all around them, red, just ruby red and a big string of black all around them, just look you in the eyeball. We was going to Mexico and pulled into a motel down in Forest City, Arkansas, and Steve and I walked in to get a room. There's a black woman behind the counter, and I'm not exaggerating now, buddy. She was sitting there and she had a dress that come way up to here, and Steve said, no rooms, and Steve said, would you call another place? She said, yeah, and that woman, Lynn, I just turned my head. I'm telling you, son, and no shame, no embarrassment, no nothing. Hey, and look you right in the eyes with her entire upper anatomy a-shining, buddy, and it don't bother them. But I'm going to tell you what troubles me, son, is when you go to some churches, and bless God, the churches is that way.
Amen.
Amen.
With shamefacedness.
That's right.
You know when Eliezer went down and brought little old Rebecca back to Isaac, and she lit off of that camel and looked across that field and saw Isaac at evening meditating, and she said, who is that man? And Eliezer said, that is the master's son. That is your husband. You know what the Bible said Rebecca did? Come on now.
She covered her face with her veil. God help us to get a little shame and sobriety back in the church. And I am not ashamed of you ladies. I looked at our ladies in here yesterday. Dresses down about along in there. I like the shouted. Hair full length down to the shoulders. And the men with their hair off the shoulders. Look like men. I told you all to shout it a while ago. Bless God, I'm sick of it. Bunch of little sissified looking wimps. Somebody said, well, my hair is about like it is. It's been that way all my life, with exceptions about a year and a half. And that never was too awful bad in that year and a half. I thought it was the most gross-looking thing that a man could have. My hair hanging down over my ears and it as straight as a poker. Bless God, I look like Witch Hazel out of hell or something. Amen! Modest apparel and covering up our nakedness. Amen. Pomegranates that are broken, opened up. Brokenness, blossoming, and blushing in the house of God. And I believe when we get there, those are all marks of a genuine, heaven-sent revival. Let's stand together. We ain't shouting much, but I'm going to tell you something. Hey, look here, folks. If we can consistently look upon sin and it not shame us, we've got real problems. If you can listen to radio or watch television or go in
where people are consistently dressing improperly, cussing you and tearing off, and
it not trouble you and bother you in any way, we have got problems.
Amen.
It ought to shame us. Us men ought to bury our faces to see women improperly clad. It ought to disgrace us as a child of God. Shame us. God help. Hey, I hope some of you little girls that's in here, Elizabeth and Cinda, Megan and Jennifer, I hope none of you ever get the idea that you've got to try to primp up and show off your body and be a Class A flash to get you a husband. You better learn to pray and trust God to give you a husband. I'm going to tell you something, girls. If you got to reveal your body and shame yourself to get a man, you ain't got much. And I'm going to tell you something, young men. If you think you got to have one like that, you won't have much when you get them.
Amen.
And girls, you won't have much when you get a man that thinks that's the kind of woman he's got to have.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? A little blushing. A little shame. A little sobriety. God help us today. And look here, I want to throw this out at you. Is everybody listening to me? Listen carefully. Brother Robert, where was that piece of pomegranate? Temples? Where were those temples, Brother Andy? Within the locks. Denoting they were covered by hair. Is everybody listening to me? You know what the thought there is? That we ought to be able to blush over our sin in private. We ought not to have to be out in public to blush over our sin.
our own personal sin within our own lives or to cause us to blush in the presence of God, even in our closet space. God, help us this morning. God, church, God wants to send revival to this church. God still is struggling and is striving to send revival. And I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen. That little child that lay right here yesterday, God can take that and use that to help us get our hearts where they ought to be for God's glory. I laid down in bed last night. Little Jordan Ashley laid down there. And she said, "Poppy," she said, "did you hear Lukey yesterday?" And I said, "What do you mean, sweetheart?" She said, "When we was at the cemetery," said, "he was saying, 'Where's baby Hannah? Where's baby Hannah?'" Brother Wayne, may God use it to break us. I'm so sick of drives. No God. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of being in church. Thank you for helping. May the Spirit of God linger in this place. Hover above and fill within. That the blessing might be without. Give grace to hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. One verse, Brother George, what is it? 288. 288. One verse, please.